Dr. Paul, welcome to With the Wind, Science Revealed. I interview today Taryn Gregson. She's a former broadcaster and now host of Faithful Freedom. We talk about censorship in broadcasting, faith and freedom over fear, childhood vaccines, home births, and what's happened with the OBGYN's organization, ACOG, pushing COVID vaccines on pregnant women. And as usual, Dee Dee wraps this up beautifully with a personal touch. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart. Today I'm talking about family, and I'm dedicating this one to mom. My mom was an incredible influence in my life. She was the one we went to when I was a kid. She was the glue emotionally for our family. So when I talk about family, this topic hits home. Seven of my siblings and so many people from around the country and out of the country will be gathering this next week to celebrate my mom's life. And it is a celebration. She went the way she wanted to go. And she would want us to sing and dance. That was the Shona way, I would say. When we were growing up in Africa, weddings and deaths were times of celebration and singing. And oh yeah, there was a ton of wailing going on too at funerals, but it was deep heart connection with family, with community. Family's not just a building, it's the people. And I get to have such an extended group of family gathering together. And that's powerful and that means so much. And then we follow that with Father's Day, where I get to be with my kids and I get to be with my dad. My dad gets to be with all his kids all together. In fact, we're gonna meet at my youngest son's brand new first house. That's pretty special too. I just wanna say, if you happen to be feeling isolated, because sometimes our families have broken apart and we're feeling a little more alone, start with you. Just be your own family and come to peace with that, and then open your heart to those. Family isn't always blood. Family is who is with you. Who's with you day to day? And we can expand that circle of love anytime and endlessly. So embrace, connect, lead with love. I love you, and I consider you part of my family. Welcome, Taryn Gregson. I am so excited to have you on With the Wind.
I am so excited to be here. It is always wonderful to talk to you. I just admire all the work that you've done. So it's an honor.
Well, thank you. That feeling's mutual. We met when I was on your show, actually, Faithful Freedom. It was January 2022, I believe.
Yes.
And you are such a powerful host on that show. You've chosen to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom, which is amazing. I join you in that. Your background, you were a former golf broadcaster and then fired while pregnant, how dare they, during the PGA Tour's COVID-19 mandates, when the PGA refused your sincere religious exemptions from masking and testing while simultaneously granting medical exemptions. That's quite a story. And then you started Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. And that's presented by We the Patriots USA. You've got a new book coming out, Soulful Influencer, An Unapologetic Approach to Transforming Your Life on Social Media. I believe you're hoping that's coming out early 2024.
That's the goal. We're still, crossing the T's and dotting the I's on that. But, that was something that I wrote whenever I was a sports broadcaster with the PGA Tour. And we were getting ready to get that in hands of various publishers. And all of that fell through with my book agent and everything when I got fired. So, but God's, wow. God's great. He had a plan.
Well, I love the title and I love that. Being soulful is something I'm focusing on in my life at this point. And I had sort of lost being a busy doctor and all into ego and doing. So I'm looking forward to that book. And your mantra of choosing faith and freedom over fear I'm with you. That is exactly what we do here with the wind. And so the fact that you're choosing to put your energy in empowering others, wow, it's powerful. So I want to let you do a bit of the talking here. That was my attempt to introduce you. You've got so much going on, but maybe start by just giving viewers a little background on you. You know, who are you? How did you come to be in this place at this time?
I am, a longtime sports journalist. So I had been in sports journalism for more than 10 years. I hail from the St. Louis area and moved down to Florida to work for CBSSports.com almost 10 years ago, about 9 years ago. And partway into my stint with them, I got the job with the PGA Tour as a sports broadcaster for the PGA Tour. They are headquartered in the Jacksonville, Florida area. And so I've been in this area and worked for them for nearly 6 years. Until November 2021, whenever they fired me. But my story concerning my journey with vaccines in general really started in early 2020, whenever our first daughter was born. And that is when I really started to ask questions, because here I had this brand new, beautiful, healthy baby that they wanted to give upwards of 3 to 5 shots at once whenever she was a baby girl. And I'm like, what? She's healthy and she's so tiny. That's a lot of shots for a tiny little baby, and she's healthy. So I started to ask a lot of questions. And actually, one of my friends said, you know what? Why don't you pick up Dr. Paul and Jennifer Margulies' book and see what you think? And so I started to read the Vaccine Friendly Plan, and it solidified everything that I was feeling in my core at the time. And so I was really pushing back with our pediatrician. And this, you know, is all happening prior to the vaccine rollouts. So, you know, when I went down the medical side of it, also going on the faith side of it, and realizing A, that there are so many aborted fetal cells, not just in all the childhood vaccines, but so many of the medicines too, and the ways that they test them and all that, just really opened my eyes from the religious standpoint. And B, you know, just knowing and seeing that God has a perfect design in all of us, and especially our little babies and how they, you know, build up their immune system. And God's divine design is beautiful. We don't need to interject in that way. And so I was well down that path whenever the vaccines rolled out, and the COVID vaccines did. And I was pregnant with our second child. I had 2 COVID babies. I had a baby right when the lockdowns happened in 2020. Wow. And then I had a baby, you know, during the vaccine rollout. And to see and to have that pressure put on me from so many people, whether it was my job or my OBGYN at the time. I've talked to Jennifer about this on my show, on how that really pushed me into doing a home birth with our second child, because I couldn't take it anymore. They were harassing me. We're in Florida where there's no mask mandates. So they would harass me whenever I would walk into the office, refusing to wear a mask, telling them, you know, religiously, I do not believe in this ideology of fear that you're perpetrating through these masks. I don't believe in all of this. And I said, no, I'm not going to wear it. Plus, I'm pregnant. I don't know what that's going to do to wear this mask while I'm pregnant. And then to get them, and I was in a midwife OBGYN practice too, mind you, and they were still pushing the jab on me. And I said, I'm done with you people. I'm not doing this anymore. I got myself a home birth midwife. Best decision my husband and I have ever made. But while all of that's happening, I was battling with the PGA Tour, had to go through the religious, I chose to go through the religious exemption process, because it really did come down to my worldview and my beliefs, based on my Christian beliefs. And they acknowledged my sincerely held beliefs about the vaccine, but then they wanted to have these discriminatory rules against those of us, very few of us, because by that point they had totally, pressured most people into getting the vaccine. Very few of us that chose not to. And they were putting these discriminatory rules against us, wanting to basically mark us by wearing these masks and not making the vaccinated people wear them, by having us test, even though people that were vaccinated were already getting COVID at the workplace. Yeah. So it was very discriminatory. And I said, you know, the Bible says so many places, other than the ideology of fear with the masks, it shows so many places where when you cover your face in the Bible, it is a mark of shame. You know, people cover their face out of shame. I am not ashamed not to be vaccinated. And so I, you know, this goes against my sincerely held beliefs. They did not acknowledge that. They did not see that. Even though I pointed out that OSHA, their mandates on the workforce, even acknowledged in there that they should, that, you know, workplaces should acknowledge people's sincerely held beliefs against the vaccine, not only against the vaccine, but masking and testing as well. They would not acknowledge that. And so I, at the time, was working from home because they had us in our home. They had us working from home for 19 months, you know, ever since the lockdowns. And I had a home studio set up. It was beautiful. You couldn't tell the difference between what I had been doing in studio and what I was doing in my home. And they said, you have to come in, you have to abide by these discriminatory rules or you're going to be fired. And I said, you know, why don't I just, I'm about to have a baby. Can't I just work from home for, you know, a couple more months here and to, like I had been doing, and until I have this baby and we'll, you know, reassess after that? They said no. And actually after they fired me, they allowed my immediate team, who I think the majority of them are, I think all of them were vaccinated, but I don't know that for sure. But regardless, they allowed my immediate team to continue working from home for a month after they fired me.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you went through some times, right, to do that when you're having a baby.
But I went on and had a perfectly healthy baby boy a few months later. And, you know, as hard as it was to leave behind a career that I had worked so hard for more than a decade, you know, having that, holding that perfectly healthy little baby boy, it's all worth it.
Absolutely. And they are so precious. And when you realize, you know, this is a gift from God, right? Yeah. It's just incredible. What did you end up choosing to do, if you want to share it? You certainly don't have to, with regards to vaccinating your kids.
My perfectly healthy little baby boy has never had a single vaccine. And my soon to be 3-year-old, you know, we really pumped the brakes on it after I started to dive down that road. And she eventually, we got kicked out of our pediatrician's office. They wouldn't let us because I, at first I was spacing them out a lot more. And then I said no altogether and they kicked us out. So, yeah. Our family has not had any vaccines in over 2 years now. So that's
amazing. And your first child's doing fine health-wise and neurologically?
Oh, he's amazing. He's doing awesome. Great. Yeah. Awesome. So he has never been sick. I swear by the fact that we don't do vaccines and my kids drink raw milk. I swear by raw milk. I think that it is just packed with vitamins and nutrients. And these kids are so healthy. They don't get sick.
Yeah. More people need to hear that, how incredibly healthy unvaxxed children are. And that speaks to that God-given natural immune system, yeah. Right? It's like, do we really need an artificial something or other to somehow protect us when we're so masterfully made?
We are so masterfully made. And if the modern medical system is as great as everyone, you know, that is behind vaccines says it is, why do we need vaccines? Wouldn't the modern medical, you know, be able to step in if your child really does get seriously ill and help them? You know, why do we need these so-called preventatives that they say they are, if their medicine is as good as they claim it to be?
Yeah. So this is fascinating to just tease this out a little bit with you.
Sure.
So we all have this journey of becoming aware of the vaccine concerns, right?
Yes.
And most of us, I mean, there are some people who were born into a family where the parents already were totally aware of vaccine risk and they chose not to vaccinate right from the get-go. But that wasn't my experience. I had all the vaccines that were available. My kids had all the vaccines almost because I hadn't really realized the danger yet. Mm-hmm. And so then you started out, it sounds like, thinking you were going to do the vaccines, but you really wanted to research it because when you realized the magnitude and the number of them. So unfortunately or fortunately, I'll be interested in your take on this. You got your hands on my book, which Now I can't stand by what's in my book. Okay. I know it's opened doors for open minds for people who maybe thought they wanted to follow the CDC schedule. And at least it's a science-based, well-referenced book that makes certain things just like, well, yeah, you don't do a hepatitis B vaccine for a newborn whose mother doesn't have hepatitis B. I mean, you can only catch that from sex and IV drug use. So that one's kind of a no-brainer. Then all once you start opening that mind, right? How process for you? Can you delve in a little more? Like, where did you go? Because I want parents who are watching, maybe who are somewhere along that journey, to know how to go even deeper if you need to.
I think that when you start to really look into it and see the stories of so many people, and when you start to make that connection of the chronic illness and the asthma and autism and ADHD, and you start to think about the number of children that you know personally that deal with all of these issues. And when you start to look at the greater picture of how autism has just completely skyrocketed, even since I was a child, it has completely skyrocketed. And you start to see that there are those connections whenever you're looking at the data. That I think really, really is a no-brainer. It starts to open your eyes. And then when you start to go down other paths as well, as far as those in government and these regulatory organizations, when you start to see the way that they allow other so-called safety guards to slide in other areas like food or agriculture or things like that, whenever it favors money and it favors big business. And you start to see that there's a much bigger picture here than just the vaccines themselves. I think that that's really when you start to say, okay, I'm going to break free from this system. I'm going to break my family free from this system. And I'm not going to just be, a meal ticket for you guys. My family's not going to be a meal ticket for us. And I'll give you a specific example of what woke me up to that in your book. Is when you're talking about the toxicity levels of these shots in your book and how, I believe it's the CDC or the FDA, one of the two, how they have a minimum threshold for the toxicity levels, but they're only talking about per shot. They're not talking about a cumulative toxicity level scenario. And that's just one of the many loopholes that you start to see when you go down these rabbit holes of how they don't really have your health and safety in mind. They make it appear like they do and favor those different organizations. But my personal breaking point was at the pediatrician's office with my daughter, our first child, and one of her well check visits where they basically just wanted to give her more shots. And I had already been pumping the brakes well before this, but I was really challenging her on the chickenpox shot and all the other ones. I'm like, I had the chickenpox, I'm not that worried about it. She doesn't need this one. And I forget if the MMR was also that visit, which I was 100% against that one due to what I found out in your book. And she looked at me and she said, you really should follow the guidelines because we're not going to be able to continue to see you guys as patients anymore if you don't continue to follow follow the guidelines. And I said, well, why do I have to follow this schedule? And she said, well, because it's what the CDC tells us to do. And I said, well, what about the health benefits or whatnot? And she just looked at me again and said, well, this is what the CDC says that we should be doing. And this is during the height of the pandemic. I am in the middle of, we're in the middle of all of this, right? And I looked at her and I said, the CDC has been wrong the entire pandemic so far. So this is not, I'm not following the CDC's guidance whatsoever. And I said, that's fine. We won't come back to your office. And that really solidified everything for me and really proved to me that it was these organizations that were trying to manipulate all of this, and they didn't have our best interest at heart. And people were blind to that, and to the point that they were blindly trusting and wanting to push this on our children and us without having legitimate facts to back it up.
Yeah. Huh. So COVID and how horrendous the CDC handled this did in fact open my eyes. That was the last straw. It was like, I will never again trust anything out of the CDC. I mean, I already knew they were lying about autism. They were lying about aluminum and vaccines. And so that should have been enough. But to just recklessly watch tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands be harmed, well, deaths in the tens of thousands, millions in the harm just in our country from, and it's all documented in their system, theirs. Yeah. It's like, oh, but we'll just totally, you know, see no evil. I'm sorry. So.
But I think that your book, is a great way to continue to help people to open their eyes, because I had already gone down that path, thanks in part to your book, when COVID hit. So I was ready for my eyes to be open. A lot of people's eyes weren't, they weren't ready for that. And COVID kind of forced them to think that they need to do that. So I was already down that road. So many people hadn't started on that road yet in COVID. So I have even sent your book to some of my girlfriends that have littles that are still, you know, getting vaccines or about to have babies. And it's still a great gateway for them to start to open their eyes. And because people, I hate to say it, but people have to be like eased into it. Most people can't just cold turkey come to that realization.
Yeah, I agree. I think it still has a place for that group of people. And then hopefully my hope is they quickly then go, oh, if this one's got problems, I wonder if some of these others might have problems. And anyway, he wrote that book in 2016. Well, that's when we publish it. As you know, you're working on a book. You've been working on it for a couple of years or longer. You know, publication is just that final date. So our hospital systems, you had a hospital birth for your first, I think.
Yes, I had a C-section for my first, actually.
Wow. So you went VBAC at home. That's brave.
I did. I know people thought I was crazy.
That is very brave.
But my first pregnancy, she was breech, and the doctors didn't know that until I was in labor. They somehow messed that up. We thought that she was in a perfect position, and I went to labor naturally. I had a perfectly great first birth, and I went into labor naturally with her. So we were confident that we could do it with our second.
Yeah. So have you researched the what's happened with our OBGYNs? I mean, it just bothers me to no end. So if you go back to old style OBGYNs from maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, the womb was sacred, and moms, your instinct tells you that, right? I mean, you're not supposed to eat fish. You're not supposed to smoke or drink or all, you know, all these other things that you keep toxins out of the womb. And yet we've seen over the last decade, first with the flu shot, you know, oh, from 6 months till through pregnancy, till you die, you're supposed to get your annual flu shot. And then I was horrified, sleepless for a night when they added the Tdap to pregnancy, because that's a high aluminum containing vaccine. The unborn child is getting mainstream high level neurotoxin injected, unconscionable. And now with the COVID, it's like, how could you possibly recommend this gene altering? I mean, come on, this is your genetics are being, you know, expressed in your womb, and you're going to inject a gene modifying toxic product.
And now they're even doing clinical trials for the RSV vaccine on pregnant women. I talked to Dr. Peter McCullough about this, and I've actually been so blessed to be connected with a wonderful group of OBGYNs, with Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Christiane Northrup, Dr. Daniel McDyer, Kimberly Biss, Poppy Daniels, and the list goes on. And they are just fantastic. They are really some voices of dissent, much needed voices of dissent in the OBGYN realm. And so, you know, they share with me the horrific testimonials that they have personally and their colleagues have of what they've been seeing post COVID shot. And you know, Dr. Thorpe, I don't know if you've seen the work that him and his wife Maggie have been doing. They FOIA'd the HHS, the Health and Human Services, and uncovered these documents that show the money that they gave to the American College of OBGYNs to push the shot on pregnant women. And this is in 2021, mid-2021, after they knew the data that there were, you know, miscarriages were skyrocketing after these vaccine rollouts. They still did this. And the ACOG had to follow specific verbiage guidelines in order to get their millions and millions of dollars of grant money to push this untested vaccine that we already knew by this point in time and in mid-2021 was hurting pregnant women. And they still willfully sign up to push this on pregnant women. And it's just, it's disgusting. And, you know, I've got the Pfizer, some of the Pfizer data right here that I always keep by me because I look at it. And in February 28th, 2021, they had their cumulative results that they followed a little over 42,000 people. And this is in the first 90 days of rollout, right? First 90 days, they followed 42,000 people and collected the data, and nearly 30,000 women had adverse effects versus about 9,000 men of who they followed, right? So that, A, first off, disproportionately affects women over men. I know we hear a lot about myocarditis, which is great, but what women are undergoing is crazy. And then they have a whole section on the pregnancy data of pregnancies, and they try to hide the data in here, and they say that they followed 270 pregnant mothers, but they actually, they know no known outcome for 238 of those pregnancies. So they really truthfully only followed 32 women through their full pregnancy. They only have 32 known outcomes of pregnant women. Of those 32 known cases, 23 of them had miscarriages, and they had 5 deaths, which were either stillbirths or neonatal deaths. So 28 of the 32 pregnancies resulted in a dead baby. And this is in February, early February, that Pfizer had this data, and the ACOG still signed on for that grant money from the HHS months after this data was out to push the untested jab that they knew was killing babies in the womb.
Yeah, that drives me crazy. And that's why we do what we do, because we have to get this information out to folks. Our professional organizations, you know, I've been watching the Academy of Pediatrics turn a blind eye to vaccine dangers my entire career for 35 years. They won't look at it, pretend like it isn't there. But this ACOG push in the face and the presence of this data that you're talking about, just for a few million dollars, I mean, whose pockets are getting lined anyway? It's unbelievable. And so medicine has been captured. You might speak more on the media being captured, because mm-hmm. you were there, right?
Oh yeah, I was still, I was a part of the mainstream media and sports journalism during the time. And, I still know so many women in particular in sports media that, you know, tried to either play it under the radar and not get the shot, or ended up being forced to get it because they couldn't work their dream jobs anymore if they didn't. And, they couldn't talk about it publicly. And they were shamed and coerced and pressured into it. And so really, there's just a few women out there in sports media that did not get the jab, because basically if you see a woman in sports media on TV, she more than likely had to get that vaccine in order to be there. There's a couple, like I said, that I know that skated by without it, and others that did take a public stand, like Allison Williams from ESPN that spoke out. Now she works for Fox Sports. She was fired from ESPN, but not for their mandates, but now works for Fox Sports. So, and just the way that this was pushed on athletes as well, and how the sports media, instead of asking, legitimate questions like, why might you not want to get this COVID shot? Whether that was, Aaron Rodgers in the NFL or Kyrie Irving in the NBA. Instead of that, they teamed up and bullied these guys in press conferences. And they weren't being reporters at all. They were just being propaganda pushers and trying to bully these athletes in their press conferences live about these things. And so, yeah, the mainstream media is captured by the woke ideology that surrounded these jabs, because sports media had already been going down that route, you know, Colin Kaepernick kind of blowing it open with him kneeling during the national anthem. And then you add the Black Lives Matter movement onto it and all these different pride nights, you know, at the ballpark, all these different things start to pile on one another. And so we had all of that happening, the George Floyd and the different ways that these sports organizations, sports, not news organizations, sports were covering these things instead of just, you know, allowing them to be an escape for people to come together over friendly rivalries. And so when COVID hit, they were already, you know, just captured by that woke ideology. And sports media, they, for the most part, don't ask good questions anymore, and just the same way that mainstream news reporters don't either. So That was a shame. And I had so many women that and young girls that are trying to break through in their sports media careers, messaging me, you know, saying, we don't want to do this, but I don't know another way to continue on. And, you know, I had some college golfers, female college golfers that said, that have messaged me and said, I regret doing this. I did it so I can continue to have my golf scholarship, but I haven't had a menstrual cycle the same since. And I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to have babies when I'm ready to be a mom. And it's just, it just makes your heart break for these people and these organizations. And whether it's, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics or the ACOG, the American College of OBGYNs, they're preying off of the emotions of moms and of women by telling them, you know, you're putting your children or your unborn babies at risk if you don't sign up to take these shots. And it's a bold-faced lie. And it is just demonic to play on people's emotions like that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I feel like in medicine, that's my lane, the odds of fixing our broken system are about zero. It's so completely captured at every level from the NIH and the CDC, you name it, right?
Yeah.
Medical organizations, the heads of departments. I mean, it's captured. The only way out is to create a parallel system with doctors and nurses and healthcare providers and alternative everything working together with common sense and looking at real data, you know, get back to real science, not protocols that are handed down from pharma to make them money. What do you see? How the heck do you fix journalism? It's such an important part to question, right? I mean, that's
yes.
Journalism is sort of that, what do they call it? The fourth arm of our government or whatever to keep these various bodies honest. And we've lost journalism as it used to be. Is there a fix for this?
I think that we're already sort of seeing it now, and the emergence of all the different ways that you can consume content. And not everybody that has a show is a journalist. I mean, even you yourself, you're an expert and you're able to reach people with your information and with truth and with data and with sincerity. And so I think that we're already seeing an emergence because, it's not technically a free marketplace because of all the censorship that happens, but in a semi-free marketplace, this is what happens. Whenever people know at their core that they are not getting truthful information, they're going to go look somewhere else. And people are wanting to go look for somewhere else. They're craving it. They're wanting it. And so I think that we're already seeing the media landscape adapt and change. And I think that just in the same way you're seeing the need for a parallel medical system or dissolving the big one, which we're seeing that right now as well in journalism, and that we have a parallel alternative content routes out there for people and consumers to be able to go go do. And I think we're also seeing the death of cable news as well. I mean, I think, you know, when we saw, we all have thought that that was going to happen. And when Megyn Kelly, for example, you know, got ousted from NBC, she left Fox, went to NBC, was ousted from there. That was kind of the start. And then when Tucker was ousted from Fox and now is announcing that he's going to be with Twitter, that just blew it all up. And I mean, Don Lemon of CNN was let go the same week that Tucker was too.
What was that about? I couldn't quite wrap my head around that one.
I don't know either. I can't really quite wrap my head around Don, to be honest with you, and what he says either. I'm not sure. There was quite an internal dispute, it sounded like, between him and management. But I think we're seeing the dissolve of cable news. I really do. And so it is another, we're seeing all these different facets, whether it's the media, whether it's medical, whether it's food, and, you know, people going back to their farmers markets, people getting to know their farmers, people buying meat straight from the farm, as opposed to, you know, from Tyson at the grocery store that they don't trust anymore, you know, those different things. We're seeing it in so many facets of our lives right now. And I think it's an exciting time for people to really take ownership of all parts of their lives.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And your work with Faithful Freedom is powerful. That's another form of creating a different system.
Yeah.
We still have to figure out how to get around the censorship. I think that one is still, it's a bit of a challenge.
I would love for Elon needs to buy YouTube. That's what he needs to do next.
Yeah, I read something yesterday that he's actually caving to the pressure. He's going to actually, who knows how much longer Twitter will be as free as we thought it might be.
Sure.
Share with me if you want. You interview so many giants in the world of medical freedom, the whole freedom movement. What are some of the most amazing, powerful, shocking things that you've stumbled on in say the last few months?
The last few months, well, we're working on a very special project with We the Patriots USA. And, you know, you guys will know that I can reveal the details here very soon, but it's a very humbling project. It's honestly one that I wish I didn't have to be investigating. And there's some tragic, heartbreaking stories that we're going to reveal to the public that have taken place in the aftermath of all the COVID shots. So, you know, I've been able to uncover some shocking personal stories from American people through that project. And I think some of the other most shocking data, I've been able to have two live broadcasts called OBGYN Speak through, and you can go watch them on We the Patriots USA's Rumble channel with that group of OBGYNs that I mentioned with Dr. Thorpe and Northrup and so on, that we've had live discussions with them, and just not just the data, the sheer numbers that they're showing through all of this, but their personal stories as doctors on the boots on the ground that are seeing this themselves. I mean, that's what really sticks out to me. Dr. McDyer and Dr. Kimberly Biss, they have both talked about the postpartum hemorrhaging that they are seeing from perfectly healthy mothers is alarming. It's shocking. It's scary. Kimberly Biss has talked about how she's had to pack women's uteruses after birth. Dr. Daniel McDyer told me this crazy story on how he had to give an emergency hysterectomy to a mother because she was hemorrhaging so bad and they couldn't stop the bleeding. So, you know, a perfectly healthy woman in the prime of her fertility no longer can have babies anymore because of this. So those are the shocking stories that you're hearing that you just can't believe. And I also have seen these doctors have shown me their colleagues that have not yet wanted to come out on record to you know, put their names out there, but the blood clots that they are pulling, which I know people have seen those and Died Suddenly, that documentary, but I mean, I'm still seeing them in real life. Like these surgeons, emergency room surgeons, are pulling out these blood clots that they, you know, it's not like they've never seen blood clots before, but usually long ones will break up as they pull them out. No, they're coming out in these really thick strings held together that are not breaking. I mean, when you see them in person, it's jarring and it's crazy and it's disgusting. And it's just those personal stories that really get me of real people that are dealing with all of this. And the moms that come to me that are like, I keep having miscarriages. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'll ever have a baby again. All you can do is pray for these people. It's hard to reconcile when you're hearing these stories.
Yeah. I can verify the postpartum hemorrhage story because my sister works postpartum in Boston, and she actually wasn't clued into it, but I was with her recently and I asked her, are you seeing any of this increased postpartum hemorrhage I've been hearing about? She says, oh my gosh, it's almost daily, but at least every week. I said, well, how often was it before? Oh, maybe once a month. So, I mean, it's a magnitude of order of greater problems. And yeah, it's absolutely tragic. Well, this is the part of the show where I'm going to bring on Dede Hoover, my partner, who's going to talk to you more about moms and some of the what it's like to have gone through this as a mom. So as I end my segment with you, speak to the journalists who might be watching this. And what do you want to say to them?
I want to say to them, don't just look at the headlines that you're seeing out there. You know, get the Pfizer documents, print them out yourself, be a journalist, look at them yourself. Don't just rely on the doctors and the experts to tell you what they say in these documents. Look at them yourself. You don't have to be a doctor to see these numbers and to interpret them yourself. Of course, you can go back and talk to doctors and reference with them afterward, but be a journalist. Read the data yourself.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
I'd like to say to my doctor friends out there, be a real doctor and quit listening to protocols that come from people who are conflicted in their interests. And get back to putting the patient first.
Yes, I love awesome. That.
Here's Dede.
Hi, Taryn. Thank you so much for being willing to talk to me and share some information with me and all these wonderful viewers out there. I tend to ask the questions more about where what you've been through, how that affects you as a mom. So let's start there. I was listening to you talk to Dr. Paul, and you have two young children. Did I hear three and
one.
Mm-hmm. And
three
one.
And one.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you're brave. I have one child. Okay. And again, raising them during COVID, I heard you talk about masks and things. Tell me what that's like to be after, especially what's happened to you professionally. How does that affect you being a mom and what you're seeing today?
I think it has made me a strong mama bear. I think that it really, it made me very strong. I don't put up with any, BS, if you will, with any of this. My kids luckily were so small during all of this. You know, I never had really any pressure to put a mask on my children because they were so little, because for some reason there was an age cut off with all of this, right? Obviously that doesn't make sense either, but, there's no way I would ever put a mask on my child. No one can ever tell me that that is something that it would be good for my child to do or anyone else. So it's really made me a much stronger mama bear, and it solidified to me in my core that I could be a strong mama bear and that I could do it, could do things myself, because, I don't know how I would have given in prior to all of this and prior to what I went through with my firing, being pressured by doctors and pediatricians. I don't know if I would have given in. You know, maybe I would have, and I don't blame all the grace out there to any mamas that have given in to the pressure that they've received from doctors. And then on a personal level, you know, I had already also been going down the road of looking at our school system and thinking about what I would be doing with my children's education. And this just solidified to me that I can do it, that I can homeschool my children. I can be a strong mama bear. Same with food. I have really, gone down that route with my children and taken ownership of fixing them food and, having them good. Here's one of my little ones right here.
Hey,
oh, sweet girl. You say hi.
Come on.
You say hi. Oh, I would. And I hate to say this, but I really protect my children from showing them on social media.
Fine.
That's another thing. I used to show my daughter, show her off on social media all the time whenever I was with golf. But when you get into this and people start to really threaten you, you're like, oh, I need to protect my children.
No.
So just one of many, many ways that I have started to become very strong and unwavering, really. I guess I should say that, unwavering in all of this.
So as a mom, as we were just talking, protecting your children and doing the things that's right for them, and we do become mama bears. And even as your children grow up, what's great is you'll still be able to do that. So let's talk about, as your kids grow up, what is your plan? You talked about homeschooling, but what do you want to be able to tell your kids in 10 years? What hits your heart the hardest right now?
That mommy and daddy trusted God with their, and leaned into God with their full hearts, minds, faith, body, and everything. And that God did not abandon us. God was there with us the whole time. And that you can rely on God. He will provide even when it gets hard and, life is not fair and things are difficult, that God is there with you and that we are a living testament to that. And that you can, follow your faith and everything will be okay, in the end. And, another way that we're leaning into that and into not only our faith, but being strong parents and everything. We're moving from Florida back to our Midwest roots, back to our small hometown, and building a home on our family's farm. We're going to have our kids out there in the woods, in the creek, in the dirt with animals, growing our own food and, really showing them what a fulfilling life off the land can be like, and not one that's stuck in the system and a slave to the system, and giving them a true childhood and one where they're out there playing and being in nature and not, hopefully stuck behind a TV, though movies are fun. I'm not saying you can't watch TV, but, just really relying on God and knowing where He's pointing you and just diving in.
Perfect. The other thing I want to bring up, just to kind of share and let people know where to go too. So my son, when he was born, we were a golfing family, and I saw your Driving Disciples, and we had a program called Baby Birdies where we taught kids, because Ryder started golfing at such a young age. In fact, he swung a club before he could walk. We did a junior golf program, and we always had these 10 keys to success. And although it wasn't as Christian driven as what it sounds like Driving Disciples is, it still is this, golf is a great way to teach so many of those things. So tell me where people can find out more about Driving Disciples.
Thanks for asking. Yes, drivingdisciples.org. It's our nonprofit ministry, 501c3, that my husband and I started in 2020. And we had our first golf camp in 2021. We're expanding. We're having two golf camps here this year. We had our first golf camp in 2022. Here in 2023, we're expanding. We're having two golf camps. And we are working on these curriculum books because to be able to equip people to put on their own Driving Disciples camps across the country. So that's what we're hoping. We're aiming for 2024 to roll that out, because we're getting so many people that are wanting us to come do camps and we can't be everywhere at once. So we want to, it's very much like a VBS curriculum meets golf. So we're wanting to equip other people with it, but to exactly what you're saying, even if it's not Christian based, ours very much is, because, we're golf inspired by the gospel and we want kids to have that outlet, and everything, but it doesn't have to be. Golf is such a wonderful, metaphor for life in general.
Yes.
And so any golf program that's out there, whether it be, what was yours? that you said it was?
We called it Baby Birdies because Baby Birdies at such a young age.
Love it. That is adorable.
Basically, just we had Baby Birdies, Eagles. It kind of held out the different age differences. But what was great was you're teaching to those groups, to those ages. Yeah. We didn't expect a 2 to 3 year old to know all the 10 keys, but the idea was, and again, our Kids First Forever program that Dr. Paul and I do is on that same basis, is if there is any sport out there that connects spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional, mm-hmm. it is golf. What you go through and how you learn and watching even the pros and seeing things, it's just a great way. So when I saw that, I'm like, yeah, I got to know more about that. So thanks for sharing that. I hope people go to that. So we're running out of time. So the last thing that I want you to talk about is, because I can see inside of you, there's so much passion and compassion for what you're doing, but not every mama watching and not every parent watching, Taryn, can do what you're doing. No. So what can you say to these mamas that are watching and going, my kids have to be in the public school system? And again, I always say have to, you know, we have to look at making choices. But when someone doesn't, maybe they say to themselves, I'm not as strong as you are. I can't do what you're doing. And their children are hurting. Their children are sick. They're sick. They're losing, you know, these women who are going through pregnancies and having issues due to the choices that they have made. What do you say to them? Talk to them. Give me your last words on that.
It is never too late to fully trust in God and trust in the strength of yourself that, you know, that comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's never too late. God, you are never too far gone for God to forgive you and for you to forgive yourself. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there, that, you know, so many women or parents or whomever have been made to feel that they have to live life a certain way and they have to do things a certain way. But I encourage you that if you're feeling that way, that means the Holy Spirit is working in you. And now's the time to take that leap. Now's the time. You're not going to maybe know the outcome. You're not going to know and have a perfect plan. And it's not going to go exactly the way that you want it to. But you have to at some point make that leap and fully trust in God and not in yourself. Fully trust in God. And that's the only way things are going to get better. That's the only way that you're going to get yourself out of that cycle and that system is by trusting in Him. And again, it's not going to be easy. And I know so many moms out there that, you know, have disabled children or are working themselves, or maybe they're sick themselves in addition to their children being sick, and it's hard. And I'm so grateful that I don't have those scenarios. So that's why I'm trying to use my extra time to be a platform for others and to help provide solutions. But I know that so many people can't do that themselves because they are just in the battle and in the trenches each and every hour of the day. But you gotta take the leap. You gotta start saying it instead of saying I can't and I have to, just go for it.
So how do people follow you? Because that is the thing, is like you just said, they're in the trenches and they're struggling. And sometimes, no matter what we say, it's not an easy thing. And when we talk about taking a leap, it's a little scary about what's on the other side and how are they going to survive. And there's a lot of people that are going through a lot. And Doc and I are faced with that all the time, that one parent's on one page and the other parent's on the other page. And the parent that's on the page that agrees with media, they win. And so it's back to that trusting and having faith. But how can people follow you and learn more? Because I see all this background on you, behind you. What's going on back there?
Thank you. You can follow my show, Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. You can find it Wednesdays and Fridays. We have new episodes. You can go to wethepatriotsusa.org where you can follow Faithful Freedom there. We have a Rumble channel. You can also catch us on Red Voice Media. And if you're in Las Vegas, you can catch us on KKVV. And if you're in New Hampshire, you can catch the show on WLMW twice per week. But I would like to say, you know, it's not... I would like to add to what I was saying there. You know, when we took the leap and it was very scary, my husband had been laid off prior, and I had been basically one of the sole sources of income because he was trying to play golf professionally, and it's a very hard road to make it that way. And so we took the leap, basically not having much income and or any income at all there for a little while. And it was hard. And then when I started this podcast, it was, We the Patriots USA is a nonprofit organization. I was volunteering, and I know people think when you're in media that you make a lot of money, but unless you're like in the top 2%, you really don't. So I had like a normal paying job, like just anybody else watching. And I just so happened to, you know, be on TV. And I know that's hard to separate people's mind, but we are still not there financially, but we have never missed a bill. We have never missed a meal. God has always found a way for us. And so I just want to share that with people, because God will find a way for you, no matter if it's a financial, a medical, whatever. God will find a way for you.
Thank you very much for your time and continuing the work that you do. It's very important. I hope you realize and know that. And I think that looking at you and your beauty and what you share, I think that you and your gorgeous children should become models, and that's how you'll make money.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Y'all are absolutely beautiful, and sharing that energy with the world is so important.
No, well, thank you. It was such a pleasure talking to you too, Dee Dee. I loved it.
I look forward to running together with the wind at our backs, revealing the science that gives clarity in our world that's full of propaganda and misinformation. Visit our website, doctorsinscience.com. Sign up. Donate if you can. Your support makes a difference. And let's make this the weekly show the world has been waiting for. Thanks for watching. I'm Dr. Paul.